Okay, so we're just testing sound. And if you could tell me your name, please.
Jean Prunick Harrison.
And so how do you live in Bridgewater right now?
I do not. I live in Portland, Oregon.
So why'd you leave?
I got married and my husband got a job in Portland.
Okay.
So we've been out there 36 years. And but I grew up in Bridgewater. My father's parents emigrated actually from Poland before World War I and had a farm in Southville before it was flooded. And so my father grew up here, and when he got married, he built a house on Benson Road, and my mother still lives there. So I come back to visit my mother and my brother, and I love it here.
Why did your do you know why your great-grandparents chose Bridgewater?
I don't.
So tell me about growing up here. What was it like? Can you just describe the community growing up in Bridgewater? I mean, I'm sure it's different than it is now.
I think it's different. Yeah. I felt very connected to people in town. I think there were a lot more, perhaps. I don't know what Bridgewater's like. I don't live here now, so I don't know it on a daily basis. But I think there were a lot more farmers.
Okay.
At that time. And my father was a farmer. He was a farm hand, but he knew a lot about farming. And so he would help a lot of the local farmers. And, of course, they had kids that I went to school with. And I just remember learning from that community that you just help each other out. That there are times when you got to go help, you know, Art Carlson Hay, or Frank Colburn needed help with something, or, you know, maybe their cows were, you know, calving or something.
Right.
So people helped each other, and if you had extra vegetables, you shared them with somebody else. And, of course, I went to school with all those kids from those farmers, and we played together, and... there wasn't an internet to sit in front of, and we played outside. And
so you link sort of a feeling of connectivity, like so a very connected community, to the idea of farming. And I'm sort of interested in that. Like, so why do you think farmers are so much more connected than, say, we are, those of us who don't?
I think they had to be to survive, because farming is really dependent on the weather, on how things are going that year. And you need help. It's a lot of work, you know, and sometimes you need an extra hand. If you have a machine that breaks down, you know, maybe somebody else knows how to fix it.
Right.
I just saw it as a part of the economy and the social structure of the town. And it taught me a lot, too. It taught me that it didn't matter what color you were, what religion you were, you know, you looked out for other people and you had to help them.
Was there a specific, not a specific event that taught you that, but just a specific event that you thought sort of identifies that situation?
Or not that I can think of.
Okay.
Just I remember, you know, farmers, people helping each other out.
Right. Yeah, I think it seems to be a theme from folks who I've interviewed in town or spoken with who, I mean, even not even a farmer, like Eleanor Gowan, right? So Eleanor would leave,
sure.
Would leave medicine outside for people if they needed it outside of the hours of the store and things like that.
Yeah.
And
because it was such a small community, you know, I felt like I knew almost everybody in town.
Right.
My father also, he would say he was a jack of all trades, master of none, but he helped a lot of the older people in town. You know, he was a carpenter, a gardener. So a lot of, you know, people, maybe on weekend people or whatever, you know, would have him do some work for them. So I felt like I really knew a lot of people in town, and I liked that sense of community. And I think the Bridgewater Fair, too, was a piece of that. You know,
how so?
I swear everybody was involved with the fair.
I'm surprised this town operates during the fair weekend. Because everybody's at it.
It's just... Yeah, oh yeah. You know, you go. I mean, I remember putting artwork in there, and my father put vegetables in the exhibits, and everybody went, and you saw everybody there, and it was just a wonderful community.
Right, right.
Event.
Was it, so how do you see that? I mean, I know you're not here every day, but how do you see that changing now? How have you seen it change? Or even from a superficial observation.
Yeah, yeah. I see a lot more people here that didn't grow up here. They came here perhaps because this is a beautiful little town, and I am thankful that there's the zoning that's here because I think it's preserved the character of the town. But there's a lot of people moving in who perhaps haven't had that kind of sense of community. They're I think wealthier than the community was when I was growing up. And I again, I don't know because I'm not here on a daily basis, but I think that what I see is that it's kind of changed.
Was there any sort of animosity when you were growing up towards Weekenders, towards the folks from New York? Did they try, I guess, and this is a two-part question, so was there that animosity? And two, do you feel like they tried to become part of the community, or do you feel like they tried to sort of separate themselves from the community and hide?
I don't know that I have a really good answer for that.
Okay.
I do know that there was an older couple that lived on our road, and she was my surrogate grandmother. All my grandmothers, you know, had passed, but she was wonderful. And
what was her name?
Her name was Carrie Wagner.
Okay.
Monroe and Carrie Wagner. And they were Jewish. They were from Brooklyn, but they were wonderful, wonderful people. And in fact, I owe my interest, my career, and my interest in art to her.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, she was a lovely person.
Was there, so I guess, I don't know, I always try to, I'm interested in the sort of the different communities within town. And we talk about this farming community and then these New Yorkers, and I'm just always sort of interested at the intersection of those two.
That is a fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about you then. So you grew up in town and... you became an artist? Is that the...
I did. And actually, I was fortunate enough to have a career that included two great loves in my life, and that was art and the natural environment. As a kid, I didn't have any neighbors close by, so I'd just go play in the woods.
Right.
And so I developed a really deep, profound love for the natural environment, and I married a wildlife biologist, and
wow,
we both had careers with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and I designed interpretive exhibits for visitor centers on national wildlife refuges.
Oh my gosh.
And I also taught exhibit design nationally and internationally. So I traveled to Russia a number of times and China and Sri Lanka to work with their wildlife preserves.
That's amazing. And you attribute that to sort of Bridgewater in some ways.
Oh, absolutely. All that time I spent just wandering the woods. And that was something else that I loved, is that I could walk out my door and I could walk all afternoon across Art Carlson's fields or whoever fields, and it was fine because
right,
I knew everybody, they knew me, and it was safe.
Right.
I did. I would take the dogs and I'd just walk all day long in the woods or in the fields.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really a wonderful childhood.
Was it, I mean, obviously careers bring us where they bring us, but was it hard to leave?
Yes, it was hard to leave Bridgewater. It was very hard to leave my family.
Yeah.
I have a close Italian family. And although my father was Polish, so I have the Polish and Italian part. I always had kind of a sense of adventure. So
right,
once we settled in Portland, we realized that we were staying there. We love the Pacific Northwest.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Do you see? So everybody sort of, I feel like people describe Bridgewater as this sort of unique little bubble. Do you see any of that in the Pacific Northwest? I mean, culturally, are they similarities, differences? I mean, what do you see there? That sort of, was there something about the Pacific Northwest that reminded you of Bridgewater, or nothing at all?
Nothing, other than, you know, a tremendous opportunities for outdoor recreation. And I live in a city now, which has always been really hard for me. Every time I come back to Bridgewater, I feel like I'm home. Because I live in a city, I really don't see community like I grew up with here. And I miss that. I miss that. I really wanted that for my children.
Why don't you see community? Like, what is so different?
It's a different type of community.
Okay.
You know, based on different things. It's based on, it is based on school. I think that's probably one of the biggest things, based on school. Actually, I have my husband and I have community through work. You have it through church. So, you know, people find community wherever they can.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of funny because I feel like Bridgewater has come full circle in some ways as far as like population. You know, we peaked and then we're sort of declining again. If you look at the school, I mean, there's 53 kids there right now.
Wow.
It's crazy. Can you talk about going to Burnham School when you were a kid? Did you like?
I liked it. I liked it. I can remember, you know, sitting in one corner with the reading group, and I remember, you know, all my teachers.
Who were your teachers?
I had Helen Stewart for first grade, Mrs. Wheaton for second grade, who always used to draw the most beautiful and amazing things in chalk on the chalkboard. Mrs. Hibbard, Mary okay. Hibbard, for third grade. Oh, fourth grade. Ooh, that's kind of a tough one. I can't remember, fifth grade. Sixth grade was Miss McPherson.
Okay.
Miss McPherson. There was Dennis Ketchum.
Okay.
And I remember the principal was Mr. Menton. And one time he told my mother, what did he say about me? I was wild or something. Something like that. And my mother came up and she set him straight. I was always a good student. I liked school. I loved walking over to the library.
Okay, let's talk about that.
Okay.
So what do you remember about the library? What did you love about walking over here?
Because there were books everywhere. We walked into the kids section and there were just books. I loved books.
Was Alice the librarian at that point in time?
I have no clue who was the librarian. But there were rows and rows of books.
Right.
Yeah, and I taught myself how to read before I came to school. I don't know quite how I did that, but I did.
Right.
Yeah, so it was just this wealth of books that I loved.
It must have been, I mean, I guess I sort of had a glimpse of this as a child, but it must have just been so wild and so amazing going to a place filled with information before information was so pervasive. I mean, we can access anything now pretty much from our phones, and it sort of cheapens it in some ways, I guess. But I just can't even imagine walking to a space that was just so filled with that weight of sort of history and cultural knowledge. And
it was the cultural knowledge that books would take me places.
Right.
And I think that might have helped me. When I was a senior in high school, we had an exchange student from Brazil because I really wanted to learn more about another country.
Right.
And I really think books helped that.
Do you think, and perhaps I'm being I'm pushing things a little bit, but do you think that while Bridgewater was your sense of home and you had this sense of adventure, so would you say that Bridgewater wasn't quite enough?
Oh, no, I never thought that.
Okay.
I never thought that. In fact, I still feel like I'm as I said, I feel whenever I come here that I've come home.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's just so wonderful to, you know, lay in bed at night and with the window open and listen to the birds, and there's just a peace and quiet there, and there's just yeah. But no, I never felt confined here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you could. It's like, so your mom still lives in town.
Yes, she does.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, it's amazing to have that home base. I think that's special. So I alluded to this earlier. I frequently think about how I feel like we had these folks who moved into town, the Van Wyck Brookses, the Melbourne Brindles, these people who were very accomplished and, mm-hmm. But they really tried to become part of the community. Mm-hmm. I feel like people sort of hide now. Like, if you have influential people who come to town, they don't necessarily try to integrate themselves into the community mm-hmm. as much. I mean, is that something, did you witness, like, these people really trying to be part of, like, the community, or did you...
You know, I think I was too young
yeah.
to pick up on that. But what you bring up a good point, because I thought when I moved away, we lived in Florida for the first 3 years of our marriage, then the 36 years out in Portland, and I just thought this was normal,
right?
That there was, I was going to live in a community where there was always so much culture, you know, so many writers. Hyla Coleman, I remember my father used to do work for her. We knew her. Artists. It was such a rich, supportive mix of intellectualism, of the arts. I just thought that must be everywhere. And when I moved away, I learned that that wasn't the case. And it was also that I was so close to New York City. I used to make trips into New York City with Mrs. Wagner to go see the museums. And I feel like I got really spoiled living in such a culturally rich area. And I know what it did for me growing up. It influenced me for certain. And I hope that would be something that still continues in this community today. It changes lives.
So it almost was I guess the best word I could say is like a flatter community. There's not as many, like there isn't that judgment per se. Like, so the Hyla Colemans can intersect with the.
Yes. I
the Kreskes.
And again, I was looking at it from perhaps a child's right. viewpoint, but I.
That's revealing.
I didn't feel that.
Yeah.
I didn't. I felt it was fairly seamless.
That's fascinating. That's so cool.
It was wonderful. It really was wonderful.
So, just because I have a bizarre interest in it, Southville.
Uh-huh.
So your parents had a house in Southville, or my grandparents?
Yeah, my father's parents had a farm in Southville.
So did they sold to the electric company?
Yes, they did. Yeah, yeah.
What was, did they ever talk about what it was like to sort of lose their village? I mean, was there that sense, or?
You know, they passed before I was born.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't really know. And my father just, he didn't talk too much about it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's, a couple of years ago, I did a display on Southville. And,
did you?
Yeah. There's a wealth of knowledge about it, but not a lot of people know about it. And it's just, again, a community
yeah.
that's sort of disappearing in some ways. But
yeah.
So last big question that I ask everyone, what is your ideal Bridgewater? What does that mean to you? What would you hope Bridgewater would be in, say, 50 or 100 years?
I hope that it stays this rural, because I think people need to connect with nature more than perhaps they realize. We're animals.
Right.
and we need that connection with nature, on a number of different levels. How many times have we seen it influence artists or, you know, musicians, composers, writers? So I hope it stays that way. I hope that there's a sense of community. Again, that's one of those words that it's hard to define, but I hope there's kind of a kindness and sharing among people. And I hope there's institutions like the library that can bring people together, and the historical society too. I guess I just hope for more of a strong, you know, kind of community that supports each other.
I think you're bringing it right back to where we started. Connections, right?
Yeah, it is.
It's all about connections.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and that starts on a small scale, but it also applies on a much larger scale nationwide too.
I think we could learn how. There's a good lesson here about building bridges between folks.
Yeah, yeah, it's what I try to teach our sons.
So, you know, is there anything else you'd like to share? Any stories about specific people? I know it's so hard when someone asks you that. It's like you can't think of anything, but anything that you would hope to be saved so it's not lost? That makes it even worse saying it like that, right?
Oh, it does. You know, the minute I walk out the door, I'll probably think of 10 stories.
Well, the great thing about this is you can just record them and send them to me, and I'll put them on the archive.
Okay,
so,
fair enough.
So I'm going to shut the recorder off, right. And I really want to thank you.
Thank you.